And but I'm so glad I get to just be who I am in God. Aren't you glad that you can be secure in who you are in God? Amen. There's nothing like being secure in who you are in Him. Hey, He's made us all different. Don't you know God's got personality? I mean, come on, look around this room. For those that know each other so well, aren't you glad you're not clones? Wouldn't it be horrible if we were all Jim Hockadays? Oh, Jesus help us. No, he knows I love him every once in a while. But aren't you glad? I mean, he's just got such a variety, and he likes variety. Amen? Glory to God. Well, that has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight, but I just love how God has given the body diversity in our personalities and who we are. And, you know, we need to let each other be who we are in God. Amen? I think too often we try to make everybody be like, yeah, you know, well, why aren't they like me? They should think it this way and they should be that way. And it's like, oh, no. We got to be careful. We've got to let people be who they are. You know, I've had the awesome privilege of serving Dr. Harrison, who is Brother Hagin's daughter. And I've served her for 20 some odd years in ministry and, you know, like an armor bearer to her. And then she's become a spiritual mama to me and heart friend. And oh, but one thing I learned from her, you love everybody the same. And she would have her family conference there in Tulsa, and she would always want me, I don't know, maybe 10 years in a row, I did the music for her conference and took the prayer school band from Rhema with me. And we'd have such a wonderful time, but she would invite so many different variety of speakers that one time they were not even Holy Ghost filled. And I remember sitting there going, what has Mama done? What is she thinking? But by the end of the message, I had learned so much and had grown so much. And when we got back to our hotel room, I was talking with her and I told her, I said, wow, the people that you bring in, you know, because my old little Pentecostal mind thinks that everybody better speak in tongues and everybody pray in the Holy Ghost and everybody better walk in faith and everybody better be living by the word the way we know we better be living. And that's who I hang with, you know. But she would be so Spirit-led what her people needed to hear. And I asked her, I said, aren't you afraid that they possibly could get off? And she goes, my people are mature enough to know the truth and to balance things out in their own spirit. And I was like, okay. But she, through the years, has caused me to not be so critical and judgmental about other denominations. Because you know something? God doesn't see us in denominations, does he? He sees us as the body of Christ. And we need to see each other as the body. And it's okay if somebody does something a little different than what we do. I mean, there used to be this one guy that used to run around there on campus at Rhema and in the church service would have handkerchiefs hanging all over him. And he would just get down in the front and dance and move around and stuff. And my first thought was, why is he wanting to be seen by everybody? See, I was being critical. Why does he want to be seen like that? Can't he just sit in his seat and just do that? Why? And he looks so different and weird. You know, critical. I'm leading a prayer group. And I had opened it up to the public to come there on campus. Well, here he came into that prayer group. And I thought to myself, oh my, is he going to start with his hankies all over him and everything? Did you know within a few times of praying with that man in that prayer group, I saw the depth of a walk with God that was wonderful. I didn't know he graduated in Rhema in 1979, one of the charter, was that the charter class? I don't remember, or back in the day. He was trained under Jeannie Wilkerson and had such an amazing encounters with God. And when you knew he had something by the Spirit, oh, you wanted to let him give it. And I'd say, so-and-so, you've got it. And he would speak, and it would be so powerful. And if it didn't bring you to tears, it brought you to repentance. It brought you to rejoicing, and because it just came straight from the throne of God. And I have been ever so glad that that man walked into that prayer group. He acted different, seemed a little weird, but he knew God. But see, criticalness would make you stay away from someone like that. Are you with me? Oh, man. And then come to find out all those handkerchiefs that were on his body. He said, oh, well, I have those all on me like that during worship and through the service because they're getting saturated with the anointing. And then I take them to the nursing homes, to the hospital, and he could tell you people after people that had been delivered and set free of all kinds of things. And so you know what Leanne did? Father, I ask you to forgive me right now. He's doing a lot more than what I'm doing. You know, I'm being in pride thinking I ain't gonna get out there and do like that, you know? I remember when I was a Pentecostal kid and we were at my mom and dad's church and this lady on a Sunday morning, she was sitting there in the service and she started laughing. Man, I'm a teenager. And she started laughing in the Holy Ghost. And I remember sitting there judging her, thinking, she is just making herself do that. That's ridiculous. She's so disrespecting the service and interrupting what God's wanting to do. I can't believe her. And I'm a teenager, and I'm sitting there thinking that in the service, you know, because she's laughing. Then other people started laughing. Well, I didn't get in the flow because I thought it was off. And then that night, I'm sitting in the service, and something keeps bubbling up. Bwah, bwah. How many have ever done that before? I can't control this. And then before you know it, I'm laughing like so loud and crazy that everybody was looking at me in the church. And before you knew it, it was just a Holy Ghost meeting. And man, guess what Leanne did after that, sir? Father, I ask you to forgive me. How easy it is to be critical of others when the Bible says we're just supposed to love them. Walk in love. Well, we can't let them get off. I think sometimes we're so in fear of getting off that we get off. Are you with me? Now that brings me to actually a point of what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. And then we're just going to have a time. Are you comfortable sitting there on that chair? Okay. Isn't she amazing? I wish she could go everywhere with us. Oh my gosh. You know, years, is it okay if I just talk tonight? Years ago, in when I was a student, well, actually, I had graduated from Rhema, and I would go back every winter Bible seminar and every camp meeting. And this one particular year, it was in the late 80s, I had walked in on campus there to go to some of the classes, then to the services and everything, you know. And when I walked into prayer school, something was different. Now, I went to Rhema when I was 18, and I was young in the Lord, but I'd been raised in God my whole life. And the move of the Spirit and the flow of the Holy Ghost, whoo, man, I learned it young. And so, and I always would be able to discern a lot of times, you know, things. And so here I am, I'm probably 20 years old, and I came back on campus and at prayer school, and I was like, something's different in here. The atmosphere shifted. Something's happened. And prayer school was still good and everything. Brother Hagin was teaching that day, and it was wonderful. But something had shifted, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and it was different. And I'd noticed it had changed for a few years. It had changed a little bit. And but that year, I was like, Father, what's going on? And then someone enlightened me. and told me that there had some error had come into the Word of Faith camp in prayer. And that error was people were thinking that they had to dress in fatigues and, you know, fly up in helicopter or be in a helicopter, go up into the heavenlies and pray and rebuke the principalities and the demonic atmosphere and stuff. But I've never seen in the Bible where it said you had to put on army fatigues and get in an airplane and go a helicopter and pray in the heavenlies like that. But they said there was some error that had come in, and that error had caused Brother Hagin to have to come back into prayer school and teach more because we didn't want the students to get off, of course. And so he came in and was teaching more. And so for a season, there wasn't as much as demonstration in prayer as there was at that when I was a student. And so it was like, wow, so it just was different. But I wasn't there all the time. You know, I'm a youth pastor and stuff back in Kentucky at the time. And but every time I'd come in, it would always had wonderful meetings and stuff. But there was still just that note of something is what's different here. And then when I begin to walk in more light and revelation, I begin to realize that people got afraid to rebuke the devil. People got afraid to deal with principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, in the Word, in the New Testament, it says resist the devil, and what's he going to do? Well, he wouldn't have told us to resist him if he wasn't still here in the earth, right? And so there's some things that we as believers that we need to make sure that we're walking in the revelation of, because God is moving in the earth. And there are things that he desires to do. And there are principalities and rulers of the darkness of this world that want to stop the plan of God. Don't you know that the enemy doesn't want Redeeming Love Christian Center to fulfill its mandate? The devil doesn't want it, but you know what? Who cares? Every time I say something like that, I always think of the goofy song that I used to sing when I was a kid. If the devil doesn't like it, then he can sit on a tack. Anybody know that song? Some of you guys know it. Okay, the rest of you think I'm crazy, but we sang that. And then we used to even sing it in prayer school some when I worked with Jim, because he liked all those kind of songs. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. It was me. I was the one that was the old-time Pentecostal person in there singing all the old stuff. But anyway, but the enemy has no dominion nor authority nor power and all, you know, in the earth, upon us as believers that live in this earth. But, you know, we can sell out and not realize we've sold out. Years ago, before I was married, I had a friend, she and I, we would every year for about 4 or 5 years, we went to the Caribbean, a different island every year. And we would have so much fun, and neither one of us were married yet. And so in the evening, we would pray, take some time, you know, late at night, to pray concerning the plan of God for our lives. How many of you pray out the plan of God for your life? You know what that means, where you just talk to the Lord and say, Father, right now, I'm just going to take this time and pray out my future. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost concerning the plans and the purposes that you have for my life. And I thank you that revelation floods my soul. And I thank you that I pray out the plan. You know, there on campus at Rhema, we'd always say that when you pray in the Holy Ghost about your future, you're laying tracks down for your future. And we would talk about it. I don't know if it was Patsy Caminetti that coined that or what, but somebody would say it. I got praise for it for a while and took it. And then I was like, it didn't come from me. But it was like when a train goes from one destination to the next, there's train tracks, right? If there's no train tracks, then guess what's going to happen? That train is going to come to a screeching halt, get off the tracks, crash, whatever, because it needs the tracks to go on. And too many times in our Christian walk, we haven't even prayed out the plan of God like we should. And then we're wondering why we're shipwrecked. We're wondering why you see something in the future, but you're like, how am I going to get there? And then it's just like, guys, we've been given the precious Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost in Romans 8:26, I love it from the Carpenter's translation. It says, when you pray in the Spirit, you bridge the gap between the present hour that you're in to the future. So when you're praying in an unknown tongue, you're bridging the gap. And there's the same translation says you're bridging the gap from this natural realm into the realm of the Spirit. So when you're praying in the Spirit, wow, it causes tracks to be laid down for you to run on, to fulfill what God's called you to do. Isaiah 41 or so that talks about making the crooked ways straight. When you pray in the Spirit, you can make the crooked way straight. And so my friend and I, we would pray late at night concerning the plan of God for our lives and for our future husbands to find us. Amen? And how many of you know your husband's supposed to find you, right? And okay, that went over big, but it is the Bible. And so anyway, you guys all right with me tonight? I'm just going to share, and then we're going to step over into some things. And so my friend and I, we were in Jamaica this time, and we had opened the door to our room because we were right on the bottom floor, and the breeze of the water and the ocean, the wind and everything was wonderful. And we weren't praying or screaming loud. We were just like in talk. And, you know, there's a lot of other people there that spoke in other languages, you know, from different countries. And so if somebody walked by, they would just think we were speaking another language, you know. Have you ever tried that before around other people? Okay, let me do a side journey. Okay, so I was in Chicago with Jennifer Tringell. She was with me. I was preaching in Chicago years ago. And we had went to is it called the Sears Tower? I don't remember. And we went into the Sears Tower, and we were standing in this long line and waiting just to go up and look and see the view and everything. Well, a few people ahead of us, there was two people, and you could tell they were husband and wife, boyfriend or girlfriend or something, and they were speaking in another language, and that man was telling that girl, that woman off. I mean, ugly, ugly. You just wanted to go up and just knock him down. I mean, it was just terrible. And you could tell, and she could tell tears were in her eyes, and who knows, maybe she deserved it, I don't know, but nobody deserves to be talked like that. But it was in another language, so I couldn't understand a word he was saying. But the atmosphere that he was creating was ugly. And then she would say a few words, and then he would just come back, and I looked over at Jennifer, and I said, that is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I can't believe he is talking to her like that. I don't know what he's saying, but it's ugly. And I'm standing there, and the atmosphere was just getting heavier and heavier. And I turned and I looked at her and I said, stick with me. She goes, what are you going to do? And I go, oh, bresse kerela vashkin grede. And I began to just pray in the Holy Ghost. Call me flaky at that age, but I did. I started praying in tongues because I thought, and I noticed nobody even turned around to look at me. Because there were so many people from different countries standing right there. And so they just thought, oh, another person from another country, you know. And so I thought, well, little did they know I'm speaking in my heavenly language, the language of my spirit, the language that when I speak into, it is the vehicle into the realm of the spirit. And so I turned around and looked at her and was kind of smiling as I was doing it. She goes, stop it, Leanne, stop it. I go, no, oh, brassy, get it. And I just kept doing it, you know, and it wasn't long where I started getting drunk doing it. And I look over at her, she goes, you need to stop. And I go, you better jump in, it's too much fun, you know. But, you know, sometimes people don't know what you're doing. I think sometimes, you know, yeah, we're not supposed to, you know, don't pray in tongues when you're with people that are unlearned. Let's speak in the language that they will understand. I get that. I'm not being unscriptural right now. I'm talking about being in a room with people that speak in other languages. And this guy's telling this lady off. It was just like, man, I wanted to knock the guy out. So what am I going to do? I'm going to start magnifying God in tongues. Oh, rabagedidididigishte. I just didn't raise my hands, but God knew my heart was towards him. And I'm telling you what, I got so light and free. And finally, you know, that guy shut down. He totally shut down. And I looked over at Jen and go, was it because you helped me, sister? You know, but I'll never forget it. I'm there in Jamaica, sitting there on my little bed, and my friend Shelly's over on the other side, and we're praying concerning our futures and the plan of God for our lives. And as I'm praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden my eyes were open to the realm of the Spirit, and I saw this gigantic principality walk into our room. He was so large, his head touched the ceiling. And he stood across the room, but he looked straight at me. And I had a spirit of knowing just came on me. Some would say, were you afraid? Absolutely not. I couldn't believe he thought he had the right to walk in my room. And he looked at me, and a spirit of knowing, you know, in Ephesians talks about a spirit of knowing, right? A spirit of seeing. And Brother Hagin used to talk about that all the time, that it was going to increase on the body of Christ in the last days. And so I'm sitting there, and I just knew by the Spirit, he's here because he sensed the anointing on us, and he heard it coming out from our room. I didn't have to go get in a helicopter for a principality to experience the anointing that we were praying in. Out of our belly, remember John 7? Out of our belly flows rivers of living water. I like one translation talks about how it's an explosion that comes out of you, explosiveness that comes out of your belly when you pray. And we were sitting there, and I saw him like that and just knew he had come to check us out to see what we were doing on his island. Because he recognized, the devil recognizes the anointing, right? And so immediately I looked at him and I said to him, now because you showed up in my room, I'm now going to pray for this island. And just like that, he was gone. I was like, whew. I looked over at my friend. I go, Shelly, because she's still praying. Shelly. She goes, yeah, what? I go, you're not going to believe this. A principality just came in. She goes, what? I go, yeah, a principality just came in our room. And he stood right there. His head was so, he was so high that he had to look over like this. He was so tall, looking down at me. And he said, in the Spirit of God, I knew by the Spirit of God, he had come to see what in the world we were doing on his island. And I told him, because he came in this room, we're now going to bring havoc on this island. We're going to pray for this island. She goes, okay, go ahead. And man, you talk about this Pentecostal chick, she jumped all the way in. All the way in. Father, we pray for this island right now. We pray for the move of the Spirit, the operations of the gifts of your Spirit to be in this island, for this great harvest to be reaped. Man, we prayed every night then for that island. For the move of God. Don't you know that ugly principality wished he'd never showed up? Because you know there's a move of God going on in Jamaica? Yeah, a move of God in the islands. Guys, the devil doesn't want us as the body of Christ to recognize who we are, the power, the authority, the dominion that you have. I was listening to something just recently on YouTube, and actually I've listened to it now for the last few weeks, and I just keep listening to it over and over, of Brother Hagin. You need to write this down and listen to it. And it's intercession. There's part one and part two, but part two, wow, I don't know if it's just me, but it makes me go, hello, hello, hello. And it causes me to realize that I have laid some things down. Well, it's 8 o'clock, and Prayer School Live has just come on to be with us tonight. And we want to welcome all of Prayer School Live tonight. We are here at Redeeming Love Christian Center and having a wonderful time in the Lord. And this is our second day of services, and it's right here in Nanuet, New York, and we're so excited and happy that you guys are on with us tonight, and we believe that this is going to be a night of breakthrough and revelation and understanding, and we're just going to have a good time and flow in the Spirit. You've popped in right here in the middle of me sharing and speaking, and I'm talking about how that we have dominion, how that we've got authority over the enemy, and how that it is imperative that we as the body of Christ recognize the power and the authority that we have. And I was just getting ready to say how that I feel in that I've let some things down. And that's why this is so stirring in me right now, because I got so full of everything that I was doing in life and ministry that I begin to realize that why am I having an issue over in this area? And then why am I having an issue over here? Then why are we having what's going on here? And then I just begin to examine some things, and then God began to deal with me about prayer and about how that we have authority over the enemy. But because of different messages and things that have been taught through the years, the word of faith, I believe, has been watered down in the arena of we've got authority over the devil. Don't be so demon conscious that you think about demons all the time. We're not thinking about devils all the time, but neither am I going to be ignorant of the devil's devices. I'm going to be aware, because see, we as the church are never to be in fear. Amen. Afraid of demonic influence or what the enemy's trying, because the devil wants to stop the plans of God. And so if he can make the church think, oh, that's just my flesh. Oh, that's just me. Instead of resisting the devil and making him flee, or praying in the Holy Ghost and praying out the plan of God. Well, you don't pray in tongues against the devil. No, I don't believe you do. But if there is a warring that begins to happen while you're praying in the Spirit, I'm not going to stop it or stifle it. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm not mad at God. No, you're not. But God, there are times you're speaking in languages you don't even know you're speaking in. You could be speaking German, French. You could be speaking some native tongue that you've never heard of. But the devil knows what it is. Am I speaking something foreign? But see, we'll pray. And I think what happens a lot of times, even when it comes to mandates and callings of God upon ministries, upon our personal lives, we'll go so far in prayer and we'll either get frightened because we're seeing something that we don't understand, or we're not spending enough to where we're willing to die to our flesh, consecrate, and just go after some things. My mama was a Pentecostal prayer, and everybody knew, if you're going through something, you better call Sister Sue. You call Sister Sue, Pentecostal prayer, she gonna pray you through, baby. She gonna get you all the way over to the other side. She's gonna get you up out of all that crazy that you're dealing with. Deal with the devil. As a kid, I remember watching her. I remember sitting on the couch in our living room, and mama was on the phone praying with somebody. And I'm watching cartoons. And man, she's just going to town. Oh, and devil, I command you. And she started going after it. She stood up. She went over to the front door, opened the door, kicked the devil in the rear end, kicked him out, and then slammed the door shut. And I remember as a kid thinking, what in the world is mama doing? Well, afterwards, man, I wanted to know, mama, what were you doing? She said, I had to just do it literally, just stand up and just tell the devil that I've got authority and kick him out of that person's life. He doesn't have a right. And you know, mama was a prayer and she got things done and she wasn't inhibited. She didn't, well, is that scriptural? Is that right? She was led by the Spirit of God. Now, do we need to be scriptural? Yes, don't misread what I'm saying. Yes, we pray according to the word, but we gotta be careful because sometimes we'll take messages and throw it in to prayer, and that message had nothing to do with prayer or how we pray. Does this make sense? Because we have authority. Now I'm getting to something. Does God have his agenda for redeeming love? Yes. And it has come to pass through the years. But does he, the devil, want to hinder it, stop it, stifle it? Mm-hmm. What is going to cause us to walk in the fullness of what he's planned, his call, his mandate? Meditation of the word, sure. Fellowship, intimacy with God. But your prayer life is your relationship with God. Your prayer life is your relationship with him. You see a prayer life start to not be happening as much, then you're going to see someone that becomes more heady. Are you with me? I'm going to change my microphone over here. A little better. But you're going to see people that will become more heady and dry. Are you with me? They'll become real heady and dry. For there is a move of the Spirit that is happening in this last day. And that move of the Spirit is not just for one or two, but it's for the whole body of Christ to walk in the fullness of his ways. And there is much prayer that must take place for his will to be accomplished in this day. And he's raising up people that will not allow themselves to be hindered by what others think or what others say, but will pray in the Holy Ghost, not to bring attention to themselves or who they are in this day, but will pray in the Spirit behind closed doors so that God can have his ultimate way. Huh. Well, that was just prophesying just there for a moment. How does the move and the plan of God come to pass? How did every great revival ever take place? You look back, what did they do? Prayed. They prayed. Somebody got on their face and stayed there until things begin to be moved and shaken and changed. Don't you know the word says that God's looking for people who will pray, who will seek his face? Oh, my friend. I love what Dad Hagen used to say. The more I get to know God, the more I realize I don't know, because he's so big. You'll never get bored with God. And if you do, it's your fault. I don't like to hear someone say that you can have a dull time in prayer. If that's your expectation, okay. But if you really believe in 1 Corinthians, when it says that when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're speaking unto God, not unto man, you know you're carrying on conversation with him. And if I believe that I'm carrying on conversation with him, and I'm praying according to the word, 1 John 5, this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, his word, he hears me. And if I know he hears me, I know I get what I'm asking for. 1 Corinthians, what is it, 14? When I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm speaking unto God. So if I know that I'm speaking unto God, and if I believe what the word is saying, then I'm going to use my faith in accordance to the word and go, yeah, when I pray in the Spirit, God is listening to me. Glory to God. Well, Leanne, do you know anything that you're saying? Not all the time, but sometimes I begin to interpret it. How many of you do that? How many of you start getting words that will just come up out of your spirit? And you'll be like, whoa, what? Jerry and I were in Miami, Florida years ago. We were doing a meeting for some wonderful ministers that some of us really know well. And we were doing a healing school for them. And this was one night. We went back to our hotel room after the meeting. And the senior pastor hadn't been able to be in the meetings because he was dealing with some stuff physically. And when we got back to the room, one of his sons called us and said, pray, pray. We had to take Dad to the hospital. And the doctor said, just call the family in because all of his vitals are shutting down. We don't know what's going on, but he's getting ready to die. And he said, please pray. And so I said, we got it. We're praying. I got off the phone. I looked over at Jerry and I said, This is what's going on, and this can't happen on our watch. Nobody is ever going to call and ask us to come preach for them ever again. If the senior pastor dies, you know, call them and we'll all go to heaven early. No, that's not a good thing. And so I said, hon, we got to pray. So we just began to pray. We prayed everything according to the word that we knew to pray. We rebuked the spirit of death. We spoke life over him. We prayed. Then we began to do what Romans 8, when we didn't know how to pray like we ought anymore, we prayed everything we knew. The Holy Ghost, we began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and he helped us, and we began to speak in an unknown tongue. As we're praying in the Spirit, we've been praying for just a few moments, all of a sudden I shouted the name of Jesus. Now, I didn't think about the name. I wasn't about to say the name. I wasn't thinking about it. Now, do I know the name? Yes. But I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about the pastor, and I'm praying in tongues. And out of my spirit, I shouted, Jesus! Whew! It had power. Of course, that name always does, but oh, there was so much unction. I looked over at my husband, and I said, hun, did you sense that? Did you feel that? He goes, yeah. And we went back to praying in tongues. I didn't say the name again consciously on purpose. All of a sudden, I shouted the name again. This time it was so loud. Wow. When I opened my eyes, I was no longer in the hotel room anymore. I had been transported. I was standing in the doorway of the hospital room where that pastor was laying in a bed. And I saw Jesus on the other side of the bed. He had been looking down at the pastor. And when he heard me come in, he looked up at me and he smiled. And then he looked back down at the pastor and he put his hand over him and he said to him, it's not time for you to come home yet. Heart, be normal. Body, be whole. And then just like that, I was back in the hotel room. I looked over at Jerry. I go, Jerry, did you see that? He goes, you saw Jesus. I go, yeah. I go, when I shouted the name that last time, there was such a power supply that I wasn't sitting here anymore. I was at the hospital. But Jerry saw my body sitting right there in the hotel room with him still. But my spirit, it left. I was in the hospital. We called the pastors, his sons that were pastors, called them, told them what we'd prayed, what we'd seen, and what happened. They begin to shout and rejoice. We begin to shout and rejoice and thank God that he's not dying on our watch, and he's not going to die early in Jesus' name. He was probably 80 then, 81 or so, but it's not time for him to go because that's not long life for him. No. The next morning, we had to go do a service, and we walked into the speaker's room, going to get mic'd up, and the pastor's wife, the senior pastor's wife, was there. I was surprised to see her. I said, I didn't expect to see you this morning. She got all up in my face and she had her hands on my shoulder. She was close talker, you know, got right up in my face and she said, Leanne, tell me again what you saw last night. So I shared it all with her again. Tears were just streaming down her face. She said, Leanne, I just came back from the hospital. I go, yeah. And the doctors came in and said, we don't know what went on last night. His vitals were shutting down. He should be dead right now. But we've done every test we can do on his heart. And he has got a heart of a 21-year-old man. Glory to God. And he lived for many more years after that. Now, guys, I say that to say, what happens when we are being led in the Spirit in our prayer life, where we don't stop early? There was another time, is this okay? There was another time I was on campus there at Rhema. And this was before I was even an employee or did much. I was serving Jim as a volunteer and did the worship, and he would have me teach every once in a while in prayer school when he wasn't there. But I was praying, and actually, I don't know, Jim, if you were, you might have still been in the Rhema Singers at that time, because Doug was in charge, and Doug Jones came to me one afternoon, and he said to me, he said, Leanne, I need you to do afternoon healing school on Thursday. Well, I had never done afternoon healing school at the time. He said, I need you to do it. I can't do it, and Keith Moore can't be there. I go, what? He said, I need you to take Keith Moore's place on Thursday afternoon. I swallowed deep, because I know who I am, and I know Keith Moore. How many of you know who Keith Moore is, all right? How would you like to follow him? And so I wanted to panic and freak out, and Doug looked, Leanne, could you do it? Can you do it for me? Can you do it? I said, sir, if you need me to do it, I will do it for you. And he said, okay, great, great. Thank you, Leanne, thank you. He left the room, and I'm like going, oh, my God. Oh, I've never laid hands on the sick like that in healing school. But, oh, Jesus, you know, and I was freaking out and everything. And I'll never forget it, because I had a few days before I had to do the service, and I was praying with some of the girls that I always prayed with, and we were praying for somebody that was attending morning healing school. And as we were praying, we had prayed through for that person. We knew we'd got their healing, we just knew we got it. And later on we did. They left healing school completely healed and stuff. But I remember we were getting ready to leave the prayer room, us four girls. And we were getting ready to leave, and I was like, why are we leaving? The presence of God is so in this room right now. And so I said, guys, wait a second. Why are we leaving? Can you guys still sense the presence of God in this prayer room? And they were like, yeah. I go, let's not leave. Let's just stay here for a while. So we put our books and everything back down, and, oh, we just begin to pray in the Spirit. And one of my close heart friends, her name was Dorinda, she was standing. We never would stand this close, but for some reason, she was leaning right up against me, and we were just standing like right close to each other in the presence of God. Oh, we're just loving God and praying in the Spirit and worshiping God. And, oh, glory to God. Oh, Father, your presence, you know, and just worshiping him. And all of a sudden, just like that, a spirit of knowing came on me again. And I knew we're getting ready to receive the healing anointing. I knew it. Just a spirit of knowing. We're getting ready to receive the healing anointing. And to me, it felt like it just came straight through the window of that prayer room, just straight out of heaven, just came right, and it went right into our bellies, just boom, just like that. And we both fell out without ushers. Can you imagine that? And I mean, when we fell out, I remember rolling over and looking at Dorinda, and I was half drunk. I go, we just got the healing anointing. She goes, I know it. You know, and then I'm like, wow, the next morning comes, healing school. I got to go do afternoon healing school. Had to go do some things in morning healing school first. And I'm getting ready to go into campus. And I'm a volunteer. I'm not even paid by the ministry to do any of this, you know. That's where people get off, as volunteers in the Ministry of Helps. Well, nobody's recognizing who I am or the gift or calling on my life. I'm not getting anything. I'm going to go eat worms, you know. And it's just like, no. You don't have to be seen, heard, or known to receive gifts or callings or knowings by the Spirit of God. Aren't you thankful for that? I am. I used to be the shyest kid from Indiana that I didn't want you to look at me. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to look at you and talk, because then if I looked at you, that means I had to talk. And I just didn't want to do that. As you can see, something's changed. You know? But man, I just loved God and would just pray. And then something happens when you pray. Oh my goodness. All that stuff that's in you that shouldn't be gets changed and removed, and you become an understanding of who you are in Christ. And oh my goodness, and before you know it, you're going to be loud and a prayer and all kinds of crazy things, you know, and just be free, you know. I'm not inhibited. I used to say, well, when I turned 50, something happened. I don't care what nobody thinks about me anymore. But then I started realizing, you know, Leanne, I don't know if it's that it was 50. I just think you just shifted. I think you just got to the place to where you just want everybody to get what you've learned, and you want to keep learning with everybody, and you want to keep doing all that God's called you to do. Are you with me? And the more simple we can make it, the quicker people are going to grab hold. Are you with me, guys? And so that morning I'm getting ready, and I was in my room upstairs, and all of a sudden I heard an audible voice. I'm going to be with you today when you lay hands on the sick. And I thought, who came upstairs? So I got up, looked down to see if someone had walked up the steps or looked in the other rooms and stuff. Nobody had come upstairs. So I went back and sat back down. And then I heard him say it again. Well, that time I knew who it was. It was Jesus. And I was like, whoo. So I got to that service that afternoon. The place was packed. Keith Moore's going to be speaking, everybody thinks. So the place is full. I walk in. The people were up there singing. And then I walked up to the podium. And you could tell everybody was like, where's Brother Moore? And I said, you know, Brother Keith Moore is not able to be here today, and I've been asked to cover it. And you could just tell. Everybody was disappointed. I've been through that too many times in my life. Everybody thought Brother Hagin was going to speak, and then they'd get me, and it would take me 20 minutes to get the service going before they'd take the breaks off the meeting. But this was my first time it had ever happened, and it happened because they thought Keith Moore was going to be speaking, but no, they got Leanne instead. So I'm up there, and I begin to speak, and it took a little bit, and finally they took the breaks off. The Spirit of God began to move, and then I called for the healing line. Well, it seemed like everybody in the room. It was healing school. They all got in line. It was wrapped around the walls. And the group started singing. And I walked down off the platform. And I reminded the Lord, you said you'd be with me. I'm freaking out right now in my soul, but you said you'd be with me. And I thank you that I have received that healing anointing. And I laid hands on the first person, and they fell out. And I just stood there and looked at my hand. Because I'd never had that happen before. Then I went to the next person. They all started falling out, and then all of a sudden, it was like the anointing was on me so strong, I'd never experienced it before. I started running with the anointing, and the people were just falling out, and I didn't know that the ushers were freaking out because I saw coats flying in the air. They were hot and sweaty and trying to catch everybody and stuff, and I was just like, and I knew, slow down. And so I waited for them to line up again, and then I started in. I was like, okay, I'm going to be slow. Because I didn't know how to control it. It was just, I'd never experienced it before. And they were all over the place. Man, the anointing, man, whew. At the end, I said, how many of you received your healing? A bunch of people had received their healing instantly and blah, 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 blah. And others, you know, as they went, they were healed. And I was just like, wow, praise God. And I went out the room quickly, and I was walking across the parking lot over to get into one of the prayer rooms to freak out. And I got into a prayer room, and I was like, oh, my God, will you do this all the time? Can we do this all the time, God? Oh, my goodness. And I was in the room, and I finally calmed down, and I came out of the room, and I'd walked back over into the Prayer and Healing Center building, and when I got over there, the head usher walked in, and he was beet red, and it had sweat rings all under his arm, you know, his white shirt was just soaking. He goes, Leanne, I didn't know that was going to happen like that, and I go, oh, you didn't? But he was a friend of mine, and then I started laughing out loud, and I go, I didn't either, oh my Lord! You know, just start. But you know, that was the first time that I had ever experienced that I had received a healing anointing because I was praying in a prayer room for other people. We almost walked out of the room and didn't stay in his presence because we had another agenda. We probably wanted to go eat lunch or something before prayer school. And it was like, give me a break. Why do we do that to ourselves, guys? When the presence of God, I was singing that song today too. Presence of the Lord is here. Yeah, I was singing it. I was like, you know, and every time I think of that song, I think of Annie because she recorded it, right? And I always think of her when I sing that song. And I was like, the glory of the Lord is here. You know, he sits him in the atmosphere. You know, and I was just like, wow, man, why do we walk away from his presence? Yes, we are carriers of his presence, but when there is a manifestation of God in a service or in a room or in a prayer time, and what we're thinking is our agenda, instead of camping out, I believe in this last day, God is looking for those that will camp out. Those that will hang out in his presence. Those that will spend time praying and then not be inhibited in their prayer time. So that while they're praying, if God reveals something demonically that needs to be dealt with, it can be dealt with. Because you are a prayer that knows who you are in Christ, and fear has never or will never, maybe you had fear at some point, but now that you're walking in the revelation of the word, you're not afraid. You should never be afraid when you see something demonic. You know, Hollywood makes devils look all big, bad, and scary, but I don't personally believe they're all that. Even that principality that came in the room, yeah, he was one tall dude, but I've seen angels just as tall and big. Why? Because they're fallen angels. And there's only a third of them that fell. Are you with me? How many more angels are there? Well, I'm afraid. I don't even want to see an angel. Slap yourself. Come on now. Why are we afraid if we are spirit beings? How did you say that today, Annie? You said it's time for us something to know. Yes, it's time for us to get better at being spirits, a spirit being. We need to get better at being who we are in God. Well, how do we get that? By fellowship in the word and fellowship in prayer and hanging out with the people that feed you on who you are. Oh my goodness, to listen to people that know how to pray and aren't inhibited or afraid. I am so in this place in my walk in God right now that I refuse to allow the enemy to have authority in my world. He's not going to have dominion in my house, in my marriage, in our church, in our ministry, in the people in the church, in our staff, in the launch team. No, I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to tell the devil where he is going to go. I'm not going to let him rule and reign over the area that we are in. No, I'm going to take the territory that we're serving in and that land where we're at. Oh, yeah. And then as we've done that and the church begins to do all that we're supposed to do, we're going to even go out beyond that. Does that make sense? I remember my mom would pray for us kids. And my brother, bless his heart, I remember him getting off and doing drugs and drinking, and he'd be gone for 2 weeks at a time. This one time he had been gone so long, and at this time we were all living there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, going to Rhema, and I was volunteering and serving, helping Jim and stuff, and I was growing in prayer and learning, and my brother was living with my mom and dad, and all us four were living together, and then my mom and dad, they were worrying, and I would teach mom, dad, you got to trust the Lord. Well, Leanne, you don't have kids, and I go, yeah, but I know what the word says. You're not supposed to be worrying about them. You're supposed to be in faith about them. Mom, aren't you praying? Yes, I'm praying. Do you believe what you're praying? Yes, I believe it. Then stop it. Stop worrying. He will be back home because we hadn't seen him. I don't know if it had been 3 weeks or more. I don't remember how long it had been. And I remember going to bed that night, were concerned about my folks because it was aging them. Josh was aging them. And that wasn't fair. I want them to live long in the earth. And so I remember I went to bed that night and I'm laying there and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God said to me, he'll be home tomorrow. I jumped out of that bed like lightning. I mean, jumped, ran into their bedroom, flipped the light on right in their face and they jumped out of bed just to look at me. I go, Mom, Dad, the Spirit of God just said to me while I was praying that Josh will be home tomorrow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And they just begin to shout and rejoice there in the bed, you know. And I left, went sound asleep. And what do you know? Josh came home the next day. Looked horrible, looked like sin. But that week, God did a work on him. And the following weekend, rededicated his life and just did marvelous, just doing good. Guys, I'm telling you, prayer changes things. Prayer causes God's plan to be in the earth. Don't quit praying for your children. Don't give up on them. Mm-mm. No, you need to make sure that you've dealt with any demonic spirits that might be hanging over them. You know, well, you remember the story of Brother Hagin with Buddy Harrison as his son-in-law. You know, back, you know, when Buddy and Miss Pat Harrison, before, when they got married, Buddy would be doing good for a while, and then all of a sudden, he would just, you know, start smoking his cigars and doing things and stuff. And Brother Hagin said that he himself would come back from a meeting. And when he left, Buddy was doing great. And this time he'd come home and he's not living right, smoking cigars, just doing his own thing, and just blow the smoke right in Brother Hagin's face. And Dad said, I just didn't let it bother me because it hadn't been. But just what, the week before that, God dealt with him and told him how to pray. Because he was praying for him, because he was concerned about him, you know. And the Spirit of God had told Brother Hagin that it was okay for Pat to marry Buddy, and it was all right. And so he was okay with that, but it was like, what about this, you know? And then God showed him that there was some demonic spirits that would like that hung out around him, and that they needed to be dealt with. And so Brother Hagin dealt with it, and wasn't too long to where, guess what? Buddy changed. He changed. How many times have we stopped short in our prayer time when there was more things that needed to be dealt with? Are you with me, guys? I believe that we are going to have some prayer times in this meeting that it's going to set this house on fire. I believe that. But God wants us to walk in revelation of His Word. So now we'll turn to some scripture. Is that okay? I'm getting ready to stop. Glory to God. Let's look. I want to read John chapter 3. This is something Annie was reading, and I just was like, I want to read that. John chapter 3. You guys doing good? Say this after me. My prayer life brings havoc on Satan's kingdom. I live out of the kingdom of heaven in the earth. God is big in me. I pray out the plan. I lay down tracks for my life to run on, for my church to run on. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Well, here in John chapter 3, I want to look at verse 5. Jesus answered, I speak an eternal truth, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, and I want to read it here from the Passion, that's where I'm at, you will never enter God's kingdom, for the natural realm only gives birth to things that are natural. Think about that. This natural realm only gives birth to things that are natural. But the spiritual realm gives birth to supernatural life. I love that. Are you kidding me? It says the natural realm, we know these truths, but when you read it like that, it's like, oh yeah. This natural life that we are living here gives birth to this realm. But the realm of the Spirit, do we have a legal right to be in the realm of the Spirit? Yeah, God made you like Him. John 4:24, God's a spirit. Genesis 1, God made you like Him. He made us in His image and likeness. You've got a legal right. And it is time. You know, I want to quit preaching some of the same messages that I preach all the time. You know why I'm saying that? I'm having to preach some of the same messages over and over and over again. And I'm like, Father, can I please speak on something different? He's like, nope. Because we've got to get it. The church has got to get it. Oh, I know what you're going to talk about, Leanne. You're going to talk about how that I'm a spirit and that God lives on the inside of us. And I know the Spirit of Truth, John chapter 14. And God, we know Him. We know the Spirit of Truth. You know, yeah. I talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Just like Dad had to talk about Mark chapter 11 all the time. And it's just like, can I preach something different? But it doesn't matter what I'm teaching, preaching on, it always turns around and gets back into the spot of, you know, the Spirit of God. Jesus said, you know the Spirit of God. In John chapter 14, verse 17, you know him. Do we believe the Bible? Are we a faith church? Are we a word church? Yes, we are. And if we're a word faith church, then we believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says, you know the Holy Ghost. Well, if you know the Holy Ghost, then you know how to stay in prayer and pray. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Shh. We didn't ask how you felt in your head. God didn't say, well, pray in the Spirit when you've got goosebumps. Stay in the Spirit when you sense me there. No. Guys, you are a spirit right now, and whether you feel like you are in the realm of the Spirit or not, you are right now. Because both of these realms have collided. This natural realm, God as a spirit, you've heard me, some of you have heard me say this before, God as a spirit spoke from the realm of the spirit because the realm of the spirit has always been. So God from the spirit spoke into this natural realm. And when he spoke as a spirit being into this natural realm, things begin to take shape and form. Right? Genesis chapter 1. He spoke, it was. He spoke, it was. Right? Huh. And then he made man in his image and his likeness. And then when he made us, that meant as a spirit being, he, what did he do to this physical flesh? He blew his breath into us. And we became a living spirit being. I'm a spirit made like God. And as a spirit, I can speak and things will be created in this natural realm. And as a spirit being, I can pray in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, where he, the Holy One, and I have been joined, where Jesus said before he left that I know him, that he would live and dwell on the inside of me. He told me in 1 John 2:20 that I've got an unction from the Holy One, an anointing from him, and I know all things. Why are you acting like you don't know things? Why are we going, I don't know why the church is this, and I don't know why the ministry is that, and I don't know why the kids are doing this. And it's just like, are you kidding me? We are not ignorant. We are children of the Most High God, and he's made us like him, and we are spirits made in his image and his likeness, and God said, you speak. Yeah. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, you speak to the mountain, guys. Yeah. You speak to it, and it will obey you. Yeah. I think at that moment, Jesus was saying, guys, we made you like us. Yeah. You've got power, authority, dominion. Guys, we're supposed to be living out of heaven and the earth, out of the kingdom, not out of this natural realm. Yeah, you live in a physical body, but you are a spirit being made in the image and the likeness of God, and God lives in you. So that when you're praying in the spirit, you're praying God's heart, you're praying his agenda. But I don't get it. It's so boring. And if you keep with the mentality of this natural realm, you're never going to go to the next level. There is greater depths and levels in God. And one of the things that the enemy wants to keep us boggled with, fear that we don't have authority over him. We're supposed to be wise of Satan's devices. Resist the devil and he will flee. Remember that old song? We have to resist him. And then when we're praying in the spirit, I pray with expectancy. I expect to see. I expect to have words come out in English. I expect, well, how did you get to that place, Sister Leanne? Well, I got to that place because of just reading the word and spending time with God, realizing I'm his kid. And he made me like him. Anything that was my natural father's, in this earth, it was mine. If I walked into the house and said, "Dad, could I borrow something?" Or, "Dad, do you have something to eat? Can I just get..." He would look at me, he goes, "Leanne, when have you ever..." Just go open the refrigerator. Are you with me? Everything that we've been given from God, but yet we're not operating in the fullness of it, that's where we need to slap ourselves. But I just don't see myself like that. Well, how about you just make your mouth speak, "I've got an unction." 1 John 2:20, from the Holy One, "and I know all things." "But I really don't know everything." Shh. I'm thankful that what your word says is my reality. I do know all things. I do know all things. And this verse here says, but the spiritual realm gives birth to the supernatural life. So if I, as a spirit being, am praying in the spirit, and then I'm speaking words that I hear that come up out of my spirit, and it brings revelation to my mind, and I'm speaking all of that out, you know what I'm doing? I'm bringing, but the spiritual realm gives birth to the supernatural life. What is happening? Supernatural life, supernatural wisdom and revelation is coming up out of me, and it will manifest in this natural realm. Can I get an amen about that? I'm just looking at you like you're looking at me. I just gotta be me. I just knew in my heart I just needed to come up here and share these things. So what is that thing that tries to keep you down? What is that thing that would cause you not to live your life in the fullness of Him, but yet you wear a frown? What is that thing that would cause you not to run in joy and peace and life? But it is that of the enemy that would cause you to live discouraged, down, and blue in life. But I've called you to live above and not beneath. I've called you to live in the fullness of what I've called you to be. You have been called to live in my righteousness, to live fully complete in me. Don't live down and discouraged and blue, but live out of the reservoir of me that's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What are you allowing to keep you down? I just got to keep going. Is that all right? What are you allowing that's causing you to wear a frown? You're contemplating some things. Why your kids did this. Why your marriage went that way. And some have been sitting back in misery, thinking, my life is never going to change. But the Spirit of God is here tonight, and He's speaking to you that there is revelation light for you to walk in, and it's waiting on you. Will you rise up and speak according to what the Word says, and then pray, believing that the Word will be manifested as you pray in an unknown tongue and allow my spirit to direct and lead and guide you? It will cause you to enter into my rest. What will you do? What will you do? And then once the church gets past their individual lives and begins to recognize the mandate upon the church that they're to abide, the place that you hold in prayer, the place that you carry in the spirit, and you pray without care. You carry yourself in a place of faith, knowing who you are in Him, and then expecting to see, to hear, to know, and actually grow even deeper in Him. Can a body of believers stand with such depth of revelation in Him? Oh, yes. because we've done it before. But now we've got to step back, pick up the armor again. We wrestle not, Ephesians 6, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, darkness of this world. We got to make sure we have our armor. And I say, well, Ann, you haven't even talked about the armor tonight. Well, I just did. The equipment that he's given us as a spirit being that's alive and kicking in the earth. I refuse to go to heaven and him say, why didn't you do that? You had revelation of it. You were walking in it for a short time. But then you allowed the enemy to come up. And then you quit seeing some things the way I wanted you to see. Remember the story of Brother Hagin? He was, what was it? He said he was having a visitation of Jesus. Jesus was talking to him, and all of a sudden, an evil spirit got between him and Jesus. And Jesus just kept talking to him. And that evil spirit was what? Was he saying something, or was he just saying yakety yak? Yeah. That demon was just saying yakety yak, you know, and stuff. And Brother Hagin kept thinking, why isn't Jesus doing something about that? Why isn't Jesus doing something about it? All of you probably heard the story. And then finally, Brother Hagin got fed up with it. And he just commanded him to shut up and commanded him to leave. And he left, just like that, boom. And then he asked Jesus, why didn't you do something about it? He said, because I gave you the authority. You were supposed to do it. And Brother Hagin said, you're going to have to give me scripture on that to Jesus. And then what did Jesus do? He said, I'll give you what, 3 or 4? I don't remember. You know? Jesus gave us dominion and authority to rule and reign. Wow. We have authority to rule and reign in this life and to operate as Christ did in the church in the earth when he was here. And greater works. So that's all I want to say. I hope that was good for you. And I hope that you'll take it not just further corporately in a prayer time, but in your personal time. Don't leave so fast in a prayer time. Don't you wait till you're hearing. You know, the Bible says what? My sheep hear my voice and no other voice will they follow. Then why are you saying, I don't hear God, I can't hear him? Well, guess what? You Bible-believing believer, you're speaking against the Bible. The Bible says you hear him. So why are we saying we don't? Aren't we a faith church? I know your senior pastors were faith people. They're from Rhema too. Your leadership, your pastors right here, they know the word. They believe the Bible. And so what are we to do? But to speak the word. Believe what the Bible says. If it says, my sheep hear my voice, then guess what? I hear the voice of my Father. Well, Ann, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to do the will of my Father. Well, what is he telling you to do? What is he telling you to do? I will know it when he wants me to know it because he lives on the inside of me and I've got it. I've got it. I know it's good. I know my future looks good. And I don't ever pray like I don't hear. I don't ever pray like I don't see. I don't ever pray like I can't figure out something. That shouldn't be foreign to us as believers, especially word of faith people. But somehow we dropped it a little bit. So let's pick it back up. Because as a spirit, we need to learn to be good spirits. And we need to be speaking spirits just like God. Are you with me? Glory to God. Well, it's time.